now, she. Trigger warning, she. Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends Friday Hour. Yeah. Broadcasting from Pod Bay to a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios on the corner of Trashview and Nata Vista. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. On your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a soon flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Michael? Is it working?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, all right, and then just in case Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, this allows be used by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Okay.
And that's
I will learn more.
It's about time you learn more.
You know, BIPCOT no government license. That's a thing. Yeah. That's a thing that I made up. And I recently tried an experiment that I'm never going to repeat. I recently wasted $170, and before anyone who donates to this show says, I'm not going to donate, you wasted money, I wasted money on the best thing you could possibly waste money on when someone donates to a show, actually trying to promote the show. So I tried, I signed up for 1 month of one of those services that send out press releases, and And I sent out one for the Freedom Fiends, and I sent out one for the BIPCOT No Government License, and I sent one out for BIPTUNIA. And, you know, I mean, BIPTUNIA, okay, album puts out band. That's not really news. Freedom Fiends, I the headline I used for the Freedom Fiends press release was, the Freedom Fiends radio show has been discussing Bitcoin since 2011. Which is news. That's definitely news. I mean, that's news to, like, mainstream people. And there's only one other station, one other show that's been doing that, and that's Free Talk Live. And they've probably been doing it since 2010. I wouldn't be surprised when Bitcoin started when? 2009, was it? 2011?
Yeah. 2009, yeah. January 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
it's true.
So nothing came of this, and I'm never going to do that again. But
did you learn your lesson?
I've learned my lessons. I've also tried Facebook ads and Google ads, which also did nothing. So basically,
that sounds expensive.
Yeah. Well, you can. I mean, you can do Facebook ads. I did like about $70 or $100 worth of each at one time. Facebook ads and, they did nothing. Nobody cares. So the funny thing though about the press release company was, okay, the first one I wrote, like, and you got to, like, jump through all these hoops. You have to do all these keywords and do all this stuff and, you know, say what town the thing is from, which is kind of funny. Like, you know, Dateline, Casper, Wyoming. Like, it's a radio show. It's international. It's on the internet and it's on radio. It's national on radio and it's international on the internet. So it really shouldn't matter where it's from, but you have to put a town.
Well, I'm going to help you out because I'm going to connect you with Ty Lopez, who's going to really help your marketing skills out. By posing near some,
who's that?
You know, fancy cars. He's a marketing expert who poses near fancy cars and expensive houses and then begins talking about how you could become a success.
So you're saying I need a spokesmodel?
He made himself a success this way.
Oh, this is one of the cults you belong to, one of the seven cults you belong to?
Actually, I avoid the Ty Lopez cult quite, you know.
So you're kidding.
Studiously. Yeah, I was. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's good.
Misplaced.
I was intrigued. You tricked me because I was like, hey, I want to expand the reach of the Freedom Fiends Liberty mission. And
I have real contacts for that. You know,
not really.
That's not him.
You didn't really harm me. But so the funny thing about all this, and we'll talk about what you can do for me.
Yeah,
Daryl,
I'm working for you,
Daryl Becker. Yeah, you're working free for the Freedom Fiends. So the funny thing is, this company, they're called ReleaseWire. I don't recommend using them. And this is one of the things we can do with Freedom Fiends is use it as a bully pulpit to, not a bully pulpit, but to give thumbs up and thumbs down to various businesses. And I would give a thumbs down to them because, first of all, it did nothing. But, you know, you could say maybe I'm not newsworthy, but I think that's pretty newsworthy. And so the second one I did was the BIPCOT No Government License, and I described it, and they said it wasn't newsworthy, And I said, it's absolutely newsworthy. I mean, it's an alternative to copyright, patent, and trademark. It's an alternative to Creative Commons. And, like, they didn't really know what that was. and the funny thing is, so I looked through other things that they post that they consider newsworthy. And one of the things was an announcement for a company at a small town in Ohio. This company that has like 20 employees that sells roofing products had just added a new employee. Like, that's considered news by the Newswire for international. In the international stage, Billy Bob's Roofing adds, you know, second secretary is news. But the BIPCOT no government license is not news. So I would say that these people are stuck in an old school dynamic, because they also said they couldn't figure out what product or service you're selling. And I said, well, we're not selling, it's free to use, and it's a license that you can use. It's an alternative to the hassle of going through patent, trademark, or copyright, and that it's a lot easier to enforce, because basically if someone breaks this license, you just make fun of them on the internet, and that's a lot easier to do than mounting a copyright claim or a lawsuit, civil lawsuit. So,
yeah. I love it. It's easier. But what is the difference? Just in case anyone's out there and is like, but Michael, I want to use Creative Commons 4.0. You know, and I like Saltzman or whatever that guy is. You know,
who?
The GNU license maker of, you know, Creative Commons.
Oh yeah,
Richard.
No, that's two different things. GNU is not Creative Commons. Creative Commons was created by a Stanford attorney, intellectual property attorney named Lawrence Lessig. And the GNU license was created by, basically by Richard Stallman, but Richard Stallman and other people from the Stallman Institute for Communist Complaining or whatever they are. I forget, but so what's the difference? Well, both of those licenses are actually backed by copyright, and most people don't know that because they think that they're alternatives to copyright. They are alternatives to copyright that ride on copyright. They're alternatives to copyright that use a less restrictive version of copyright. It's copyright with some allowances for people to use. But you can violate those licenses, and the remedy for violation of those licenses could be a civil court of law. And a lot of people don't realize that, but it's
true. That is a big difference. And you wouldn't use that for the BIPCOT no-gov license.
No, the remedy for violating your BIPCOT license is laughing at people on the internet. And I know of one occasion that it's actually been done. Was Cell 411, which is a wonderful app. How do you like this for a segue? Cell 411 is a wonderful app that's free for iPhone and Android. You can get it on the iPhone store, iTunes store, and Google Play. Cell 411 allows you to set up cells or groups of friends that you can call with one button in an emergency instead of calling the police, who will likely show up and shoot your dog and then arrest you, if not shoot you. That happens. I mean, people think that we're being facetious, but that does happen, right? Where people who are not committing any crime call the police for help, and the police come up and show and shoot somebody. You've heard of that, right?
It's too common. It's too common. I keep reading about it.
Yeah. Google, I mean, if you want proof, this is going to harm you, but look on YouTube and Google police shoot dog or police shoot innocent man. And, you know, it's not always what most people think, which is black people in inner cities who have criminal records being shot by the police, and then the police saying, well, they had criminal... Everybody gets shot by the police. You know, examples are people that they call the police for ridiculous things, like their child is suicidal, and then the police show up and shoot them. I guess that's providing a service, because the person said they wanted to kill themselves. The police show up and do it. But Cell 411 is for, you know, calling friends... for anything, like, let's say, you know, a kid at school being bullied could call other, you know, older siblings at the school or parents that live down the street or other kids that they pay to be their bodyguards or whatever. Or, you know, if you break down, you could call a friend that might be in the neighborhood. You know, you might have a bunch of friends work in the neighborhood who also
drive around
all day. Yeah, you know, you could get help with your car quicker than you could get AAA. AAA is a great deal, and everybody should have it. This was not a paid ad, AAA, but I'm with AAA. I mean, one toe pays for AAA, you know, but they take a while, especially in a place.
It can take a while.
That's not a big city where there's not as many tow trucks. Yeah, they can take a while. But cell 411, you can call people you know, and it gives them turn-by-turn directions. So cell 411 is one of the many products and or services covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. And a policeman who blogs for the site PoliceOne.com wrote a scathing review of cell 411. You know, basically, it was kind of like a horse and buggy operator writing a scathing review of the first automobiles. That's what it reminded me of. But he was saying it was dangerous. Like, he was saying, like, this shouldn't exist. This should be outlawed. I think he realized it couldn't be outlawed, but he said that people should petition Google and Apple to remove it from their stores, which is ridiculous. And he actually installed it and tried it out and gave a, you know, this isn't good because this will lead to, you know, people in trouble with the police.
This is a dangerous assembly of the commoners. It's a dangerous a digital assembly of the commoners.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's basically
it. He didn't like that. So, but, So the creator of this program, Virgil Viduva, and myself basically hassled the cop for violating the BIPCOT No Government License until he blocked us. I wouldn't say hassled, but we pointed out that he violated the BIPCOT No Government License, and he repeatedly, and he ran away. He ran away and cried and blocked us on Twitter. So, yeah, cell 411. Not all cops are bad. But that cop was violating a license.
We'll be back with more Freedom Technology.
Yes.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So you missed all these, this pushing of Kratom during the break, but we're back, and I'm back with some good self-esteem.
Oh, well, you're interested in it because you're a healer, so.
Yeah. It is Kratom.
I don't do that, but my cousin does, Cash Newman. He told me about it. He likes it.
But a lot of people do Kratom. Yeah. It's a legal herbal medicine that is used for many things, one of them to be treating pain. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Anyway, we had more important things to talk about, such
as... We're not paid by the Kratom Institute of America.
I'm not presently sequencing the Kratom genome over here, so I could pretend.
Did you hear about that?
I did, through you.
Yeah. Somebody sequenced 10 times the amount of the Kratom genome that had been previously sequenced, and the previous amount that was sequenced was a combination of like John Hopkins Institute, the Center for Disease Control, the National Institute of Health, and some college, like all together, like these four organizations sequenced like a tiny, tiny bit of it. And this thing called the Kratom Genome Project, which is KratomDNA.org, KratomDNA.org, sequenced 10 times that amount and released it on the internet as a torrent file, and then put the SHA-256 hash of the torrent file on the Namecoin blockchain, which is kind of funny. But it's not.
Oh, wait,
funny.
What does that mean to anyone who doesn't understand coin speak?
Okay, basically, it literally replaces patents because it is a where it doesn't have the legal standing of patent. Well, it actually, what they did this for was to make it harder for big pharma to patent Kratom's genome, because there's a lot of talk and probably a good chance that the reason the government is trying to crack down so hard on Kratom, when it has so many uses, including getting people off of opiates, which is like the biggest problem in the world, other than, you know, North Korea with their finger on a big button. If you talk to anybody, including the president, the biggest problem is the opiate epidemic. Well, Kratom gets people off of opiates very well, and you know they may end up on Kratom forever, but it's far less damaging, and it's legal and it's cheap compared to opiates. But a lot of people use it to like wean off it and then never go back to it too. So it's, I wouldn't say a cure, but a useful tool in mitigating the opiate epidemic. But of course, the government says, "Oh, this is good. We must outlaw it." And they tried outlawing it last year. And the FDA, that didn't work. And then they were going to classify it Schedule 1, you know, like heroin. But that didn't work. And so now the FDA is going after it. And basically, they're without any law at all, they're taking the law into their own hands, as governments do, and seizing shipments of it. But it still exists. And it's illegal in 4 or 5 states. Alabama's one. You know, the Crimson Tide, they can't do it. And it's illegal in the military, but it's people can get it other places. And people use it. And so the Kratom Genome Project, check out their website. It's kratomdna.org. They paid, somebody said it cost like $100,000 to do what they did, plus a lot of knowledge.
Oh, yeah. That's expensive to sequence.
Yeah, they sequenced a bunch of the genome, and they also did, what's it, chem genome, chem print. They did chemical analysis of the sample that they sequenced. So they also have like, I forget the word for it, but the chemical markers of the plant, the particular plant they used, which is also useful in establishing first use and prior art, which are the weasel words governments use for making it harder to patent something. Now, you can't patent in America a full genome anymore, but you can patent strains of a genome. The genome of strains of a species. And this was red Kratom, apparently. So, yep, red tie, they said.
Wow. And it touched on intellectual property, another, you know, those economic terms. This is foreshadowing.
I think I saw the BIPCOT license somewhere on that site. Let me look it up. But, yeah, we're going to talk about BIPCOIN. Speaking of BIPs, the BIPCOIN, the cryptocurrency I invented, hit all-time high this morning. It went from, it's been 2 cents for a year, pretty much, more or less, and it went up to 18 cents today, and I was really happy, and I just checked, and it's 28 cents now. So imagine that. Like, me and my buddies created something almost as a joke, and it's, you know, you could have increased your money by 10% in one day with something I made that I'm no longer involved in. So there you go. BIPCOIN.org.
Get some. My not financial advice.
We do not recommend. This is not financial advice.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yep. Yep.
What else to you, good Michael?
Warm show, sir. So you're looking at kratomdna.org. What's the footer say here? Read this footer.
This site and the genetic data included is covered by the BIPCOT-SI-SUMGov license. The BIPCOT-SI-SUMGov license is a variation of the BIPCOT-NOGov license with libertarian indulgence slash mailman exception. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments or government agents who specifically promote violence by attempting to monopolize things that grew out of the ground. Anyone, including government scientists, is invited to examine, utilize, and share our data if they are not acting in a coercive capacity or enabling others to do so with their work. And they must credit the Kratom Genome Project and link this site. There we go.
Neat.
I love that footer.
It's great. It's a big footer.
It's a pretty big footer.
Yeah. Most footers are like a half a line. This one's a couple paragraphs, but short paragraphs. Three short paragraphs. Yep.
The BIPCOT-SI-SUMGov license.
BIPCOT-SI-BIPCOTSKI.
Bipkotsky.
Yes, Bipkotsky. That's how I'd say it, but I don't think that's right. I think you're right. Yeah, and there's a post on here somewhere that said that that the reason they did that is because most genetic scientists work for the government. So by preventing any government scientist from using this data,
you're kind of locking it away from like a huge ton of scientists.
Yeah, because actually, yeah, a lot of genetic information is shared publicly. There's something called like the Bermuda Principles. This is actually a link on this page. The Bermuda Principles set out rules for rapid and public release of DNA sequencing data. The Human Genome Project, a multinational effort to sequence human genome, blah, 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 blah. So basically it means that when you sequence something, you put it out on the internet within 24 hours. So, yeah. It's kind of how I make records.
Wow.
I have the third
in 24 hours?
The third Biptunia record is going to drop in the next few days. It's pretty much one song away from being done. And then, you know, we got to sequence it, which is not the same as genetic sequencing. It's find the right order for the songs and then listen to it for a day and make sure that it works. But yeah, man. And then I'm going to take some time off and write the second edition of $30 Music School and the third edition of $30 Film School and release them Kindle only for, I don't know, $4.99 or something. See, actually, should I change the name of it? Probably not, because there is some... $30 Film School sold over 100,000 copies. I recently got the copyright back on these. So, like, I wrote these books a long time ago. And before anyone says, why didn't you put them out BIPCOT? Because BIPCOT didn't exist, and I wasn't a libertarian when I wrote these books.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's all copyrighted stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That was released by Course Technology, which is the largest publisher of school textbooks in America. And it's actually $30 Film School is, if you go to the $30 Film School Wikipedia page, there's a couple citations of recommended and required reading in some courses, and it's been used, quoted in PhD dissertations, which is pretty good for a high school dropout. I'm technically a high school dropout with a high school diploma, which is a long story, but yeah.
You're technically an autodidact and self-taught on a wide spectrum of skills, right?
Yep. And I went to college with Phil Warmoth, who is the guy I'm doing the Biptunia with now, the poet, who I went to college with him. And he finished college. I dropped out of college to go be a rock star. And he went to college and then went to more college. And now he's a school teacher. But he's one of the good ones. So he gets the libertarian indulgence. And he and I don't even talk politics on the Freedom Fiends. I don't know if you've heard the two or three episodes that I've been on with Phil Warmoth. Have you heard him?
No.
Any of them? Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah. He's libertarian at heart, but he doesn't know much about politics, doesn't care to talk about politics, but he said he's libertarian according to the Will Grigg libertarian test, which is very simple. Do you know that one?
No. How do you take the Will Grigg simple libertarian test? I'm ready to take it.
It's It's shorter than the world's smallest political quiz.
All right.
The world's smallest political quiz is what, 10 questions or something? This is one question, and it's when a cop kills, when an officer of the law kills or injures someone, is your first thought the cop did something wrong, or is your first thought, well, the person probably had it coming? If it's the first, if you think the cop probably did something wrong, if that's your initial thought without having more information, then you're a libertarian. If your initial thought is, well, the person probably had it coming, then you're not a libertarian. And, you know, there's not a lot of gray area. I mean, a lot of people say, well, I need to know more. But really, in your heart of hearts, most people kind of make up some, you know, they tend towards a certain finding with that.
Now, I have a theory on why that is, too.
Why
are people so desiring
state indoctrination?
Yeah, that's true. It started back in school days where you want to raise your hand and have the right answer. And if you have the right answer, then the teacher nods and smiles and, you know, things usually can go your way, at least with the authorities. And if you have the wrong answer, well, then, you know, the teacher will be like, no, and maybe people will laugh at you.
Yeah.
So people, no. So people have a craving for certainty and they build their self-esteem on being certain rather than finding out what's right.
Ah, you know? That's brilliant. And actually, the state worship goes before school, even before kindergarten, because a lot of parents tell their baby, you know, their toddlers as soon as they can speak, like, if you're ever in trouble and you can't find mommy and daddy, who do you find? A policeman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A priest.
A priest. Yeah.
Someone
if you're, you know, Catholic.
Someone touched me. I'm just kidding.
To go there. There are cops that don't kill people, and there are priests that don't molest. So you're being overgeneralized.
I was making the hasty generalization fallacy.
Yes. Is that a thing? Or is that just calling this thing?
No, you just got a Wikipedia page. The hasty generalization fallacy
then it's
is
real.
Making the
then it's real.
All such and such are such and such, you know.
You know, my art is real, but I'm not real, according to Wikipedia, because two of my movies and one of my books have a Wikipedia page. But I do not have a Wikipedia page. I used to have a Wikipedia page like 10 years ago, and like 5 years ago it got deleted as non-notable. So I'm non-notable, but my output is notable. I'll take that. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when I was complaining about Release Wire not thinking that my thing was notable, that's not me going, I am so notable. That's me with somebody with less of a lesser mind between me and what I'm trying to do, you know, because I looked at their press releases and they had actually, like I said, you know, Billy Bob's feed in Toledo, Ohio adds second secretary. That was the level of some of the newsworthy. Basically, they didn't understand it. You know, I mean, these are people that if 5 years ago you'd said, there's a new cryptocurrency called Litecoin. They would have been, that's not newsworthy. I don't know what that is. And Litecoin is older than that. But
the kind of thing that right now, if you had done that 5 years ago with lots and lots of Litecoin, you'd be quite the millionaire.
I can't believe Litecoin's performance, man. That's amazing.
It's good stuff.
I had 3 Litecoin. No, 10 Litecoin. I had 10 Litecoin that I bought for it's 30 Litecoin that I bought for $3 each from Stephanie Murphy, who mined them herself. And this was in probably 2012, and I was like, you mine them? How does that work? You know, and later I'm writing tutorials on how to mine when I'm releasing Bitcoin. I'm a quick study, but
yeah.
I had some Stephanie Murphy mined Litecoin that I bought for $3 each, and I bought 30 of them. And a week later, they went up to $9 each. And I actually, this is kind of funny. We actually had a Freedom Fiends episode called Triple Your Money in 1 Week with Litecoin. And then, of course, there was a, this is not investment advice, this is a link bait title, blah, blah, blah. But that's one of the, like, you know, top 10 things when you Google my name that comes up is that episode. Triple Your Money with Litecoin by Michael Freedom Fiends. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that's the metric, that's the one. People are looking up the coin.
One of the things I said a long time ago was, I think I actually said this in $30 Film School, first edition in 2002, was do everything as if it's the last, do everything as if it's the only thing you'll be remembered for. Like, don't do things thinking, oh, this is not going to be seen by many people. I don't have to be very good with this, because you don't know which of the thousands of things that I've done will be the thing I'm remembered for. Like, you know, I mean, I'd love to be remembered for my films and my music and my writing, but probably won't be. It'll probably be something like, you know, here lies Michael Dean. He invented the BIPCOT, no government license. That is one of my gifts to the world, and it's actually something that has, it kind of started as a joke, but kind of serious, like most things I do. And it really has had legs. It's gotten a lot of play, and a lot of people use it, and strangers, people I don't know, people I have no connection to use it. But, you know, who knows? My gravestone may say, and this may be the only thing I remembered for, here lies Michael Dean. He did an episode called Triple Your Money with Litecoin in 7 days. Never know.
I would put this on your stone, though. Do everything like you'll be remembered by it. That was your quote.
Do everything as if it's the only thing you'll ever...
As if it's the only thing you'll ever... Okay, I'll have to chip away at the tombstone again.
Yeah, I actually worked at that wording. It's more quotable. I said a bunch of stuff that's really quotable back then. Now I just do things. Back then I just made up words. What was one of the other ones? There were others. There were good ones. Oh, he who dies with his art on the most hard drives wins.
Yeah.
That's one that's quoted by a lot of up-and-coming artists of various digital media.
I've always loved that Fiends quote, by the way. Yeah. Because it's just like
so that. It's a pre-Fiends quote. It's from $30 Film School. So $30 Film School is going to have nothing about like using modern cameras in it. I'm going to strip all that out, because that kind of stuff changes so rapidly that it's not worth putting in a book. It's just going to be all the advice that's timeless, like that, you know, and how to get stuff done cheap. Like, hey, want to be on my radio show for nothing? It's cool. It's fun. I'll send you buttons. I'll send you buttons.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Freedom Fiends are back.
Yeah.
Exercising our vocals.
I thought that, that I'd lost the Crusades today, because I turned on LRN.FM, which is the internet network we're on. We're on the Genesis Communications Network on radio. Good people. LRN.FM, good people. But Freedom Fiends, this show, the nighttime show, replays every afternoon at... Well, three to five my time, but it's one to three, I guess, East Coast time. And during that slot, there were Muslims. The Muslims had taken over. I thought we'd lost the Crusades. But no, it turns out that Will Coley's show is now, I guess, daily. So that's his live slot. So we got moved back, and I'm announcing, this is my way of announcing that the Freedom Fiends live on, the replay on LRN.FM has been moved back to noon to 2, I think. Yeah, I'll check that, but
Yep.
Mm. So if you can't get enough of this, and, you know, I know what it's like, because there's at least, was it 4 shows plus a repeat per week?
Yeah.
That's it.
A best of, yeah.
Oh, a best of. And
two repeats of that, yeah. Sometimes then, there's something different on the weekend, though.
But can we mention the digest? You know.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so you can get a Freedom Fiends digest version of all the shows, right? Where do you go?
It's digest.freedomfiends.com, and it's put together by Riley Blake, great guy. Tip him some cryptocurrency if you can. There's an address on digest.freedomfiends.com on the about page. Great guy, does the Freedom Fiends makes the Freedom Fiends Digest and the Free Talk Live Digest. And basically the Freedom Fiends Digest is 10 minutes 4 times a week. So you can he condenses a 2-hour show, which is actually an hour and 15 minutes without commercials, down to 10 minutes. No, 20 minutes, yeah, 20 minutes. And if you listen to it on a lot of players, you can listen to it 1.5 times. You can listen to it twice speed, where it's you can understand what's being said, but it sounds kind of comical. You know, it's Chipmunky without the pitch change. Like, it's just,
I don't know how people listen to podcasts at twice the speed.
I know, but at 1.25 times the speed, it sounds even better. Because this is a late night show, we're kind of sleepy sometimes, and, you know, we kind of think about what we're going to say, and... But when he chops it down to just the best parts of it, 20 minutes, and you play that at 1.25, it takes 16 minutes, it's fabulous. And if you don't have 16 minutes 4 times a week, that's 32 minutes, that's an hour a week. If you don't have an hour a week for the Freedom Fiends, you're probably a communist or some sort of leftist, I would say.
I got to find out if I made it into the digest somewhere. I got to check this out.
You're always making it into the digest. I mean, there's going to be a digest of this show tomorrow afternoon. I mean, what, do you think he's just going to make the parts with me? No.
Yes, exactly. It's possible.
Yeah, I bribe him, so it's just me. Even when I'm not on, he just puts me. No, it's not true.
It's actually Michael Digest.
Michael Digest. Mm. Yep.
Well, that works. I guess that leaves plenty of time to touch on everything, huh?
Well, I want to talk about how synthesizers are fidget spinners for grown-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, and I'm talking specifically about hardware synthesizers, and especially, but not totally, not entirely, analog hardware synthesizers, because there are a lot of people who are kind of snobs, who play synthesizer, who are snobs about analog hardware synthesizers. Because here's how I found it out. I got a synthesizer because, you know, I've played music since I was 14, so 64, 74, since 1978. And I decided recently I want to play music, so I got a synthesizer, hardware synthesizer, and loved it, but quickly discovered that soft synths or software synthesizers are much easier to use. You don't have to tune them. There's more variety, quicker. But there are people, like there's a lot of synthesizer groups on Facebook, for instance, that if you post like a great song made with soft synths, they're like, meh. But if you post like just noodling atonal noise made with a hardware synthesizer, people love it on there. And I realize like all those people are autistic. I'm mildly autistic. I'm an ASPE. But yeah, I think it's the fidget spinners for adults just noodling on hardware synths. That's what's going to be on my gravestone. Hardware synths are fidget spinners for autistic adults.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends. We've hijacked the CIA's orbital mind control laser to beam the pirate signals of protest directly into your frontal cortex and tell you that you are free. Can you hear me on that one? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm ready to learn more. Can you help me understand?
What do you want to know?
Oh, we've got a variety of various economics principles that connect to real life. It's one thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't do last week.
Yeah, this happens.
Yeah.
You know, that or all the personal topics. I got all this. See, I got like a show notes here, and I have things like that are highlighted in pink that I can only say like off the air between segments.
Yeah, don't say that then.
I'm not saying those things.
Yeah. So cryptocurrencies largely went down today.
Red 30%. Candles, as they say. Yeah.
Red candles. Explain that for those who don't know.
On charting of the prices of any commodity, whether it's cryptocurrencies or stocks or bonds.
Hog bellies.
Exactly. Any type of commodity. The charting shows movements of up and movements of down and how big those movements are. And so those movements are like candles because they're all stacked vertically across this horizontal board. And an up movement is a green candle and a down movement is a red candle. Yeah, is that good enough?
Yeah, that sounds about right for me. And some people, you know, there's actually like, have you seen like commercial software that's kind of scammy like make trades automatically?
I think I've seen some pretty scammy Bitcoin stuff out there.
Oh, I'm talking about old school. Like
old school, trading. Yeah.
For what's that square thing called that old people use? Oh, yes, the stock exchange. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And technically, some people still make money with the stock market, right? I guess.
Yeah. Millions, billions, trillions.
Yeah. But so cryptocurrencies came out in 2009 on January 3rd, just recent birthday of Bitcoin. And
happy birthday, Bitcoin.
Happy birthday. So we're talking about at this point, there's like plus 8,000 available cryptos out there. I think more than 1,000 are on viable exchanges that you can basically trade these. And then there's the millions of goods and services that you can purchase with them or, you know, unload them.
Let's discount some of the common complaints that the uninitiated have about cryptocurrencies. And usually it's about Bitcoin because people who don't know usually think there's only one cryptocurrency. And actually, those of us in the know are like, Bitcoin, that's grandma's coin, man. That's last centuries. That's last decades.
Bitcoin's still going places, young man. You just wait.
Well, I think Bitcoin will go places. The problem with Bitcoin is it's so complicated. I mean, we probably are burying the lead to talk about the problem with Bitcoin because there are people who don't know what Bitcoin is. So most people know at this point that Bitcoin is some kind of electronic currency that, you know, nerds use to buy drugs on the internet. Actually, nerds don't use Bitcoin to buy drugs on the internet. No, they use Monero because Monero is untraceable. Bitcoin has a ledger. Bitcoin is weird compared to everything that's existed previously because most things that existed previously for making payments, you know, it was either you're trading chickens or U.S. dollars. And, you know, those are kind of anonymous. People complain that Bitcoin can be used for anonymous transactions. It's less anonymous than $100 U.S. bills or any denomination. Although, I have a theory that I'm sure is true for a long time. I think that they've been tracking bills by serial number by taking pictures of them when they go places. Like, well, for instance, I had a theory about this and found out it was true a couple years ago that the U.S. government is now taking a photograph of every parcel that goes through the U.S. mail and probably by now every letter because it's gotten so cheap to do that and so automated. But I think they're probably doing that, you know, at Walmart where they hold it under the little light that tells that it's whether it's counterfeit or not. I'll bet that thing takes a picture of it and keeps track of, you know, who, I mean, they know who you are when you walk into a big box store, even if you don't use credit cards, they know who you are because they're tracking your face now with facial, facial recognition software. That stuff's just getting crazy. You know, the
it still isn't much
of a match for glasses and a baseball cap, though. Really lo-fi. Yeah.
And then there's the gait recognition software that can pretty much has everyone mapped out the way they walk.
How you walk?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Gait.
Yeah. Gait recognition.
What if you never leave your house and you're safe?
Well,
that's how I deal with that.
You see, the problem, you see, it's very simple. Just go everywhere in a wheelchair. You know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right.
No, I mean, you can be safe or you can be free.
You know? I wonder if there are traits of gaits, like, oh, that guy walks like a terrorist, or if it's just, you know, that guy is someone we know by his gait.
Some small hemorrhoidal action causing the left leg to go this way.
Yeah. Well, cops are trained and pretty good at spotting a gun on somebody. It's you know, which is one reason, like, you hear all these hip hop rap songs and, you know, so half of them are bragging about how big their gun is, their AK and stuff, but half of them are talking about really tiny guns. And the reason for that is so people can conceal carry in people who can't legally carry a gun can conceal carry in places where nobody can legally carry a gun, like California, San Francisco. You can legally carry a gun in like Kern County or, you know, some of the rural counties in California. It's technically possible to get a permission slip from the government. Where I live in Wyoming, you just buy a gun and put it in your pocket. It's legal. Yeah.
Wow. Someday.
Yeah.
Over here, maybe.
When we first moved, now you can have a gun. You can carry concealed or open. You can carry concealed in Wyoming without a permit. And that's new in the couple of years since I've been here. I'll do a shout out for the people who made that happen. It's the Wyoming Gun Owners Association. And Google that. Send them some money if you live here, even if you don't. Because, you know, this is the canary in the coal mine. Like, this is the most free gun laws in America, in Wyoming. So and there are people trying to encroach on them. So if the gun laws, if they can chip away at them here, you know, your less free states are not far behind.
What do you think of Vermont's gun laws, or do you not know those? Or?
I know that you can open carry without a permit there, and that's the state you could do that. Like, they've never had a permit requirement there. But that's the kind of place where if you open carry, they'll call SWAT sometimes. I mean, it's a really, it's an anomaly. There's the only state.
I know,
like,
I live
this
there. It's a totally lefty state, man.
Yeah. Totally lefty state. You know, people, it's funny because there's this thing called, like, the Freedom States Index or whatever. It's done by the guy who started the Free State Project. And, of course, New Hampshire's the freest. But they have, like, 10 different metrics. And it kind of depends what's important to you. Like, if just freedom in general is important to you, New Hampshire is probably the most free state, and New York is probably the least free state, which is how they have them listed on there. But if all you carry about is open carrying or carrying a gun concealed without a permit and gay marrying, then Vermont is your place, you know?
Yeah.
And if all you care about is carrying a gun without a permit and... Oh, I think Vermont has medical marijuana now, or legal marijuana too, or something. But
finally,
yeah. But if you're like me and like to carry guns, like to pay low taxes, and don't smoke marijuana, Wyoming's the place for you, because Wyoming is the freest gun law place. But an ounce of weed is a felony here, which is really bizarre because it borders Colorado, where, you know, you can walk into a store and buy a pound of marijuana. And
yeah, that's just one of those perfect setups, isn't it? For, you know, making revenue if you happen to own all the situations.
Yeah, although
like
they're pretty much like pulling over any car that has an interesting gate at the border now or shortly after. Yeah.
That's exactly.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
smuggling from Colorado into neighboring states and even nearby states. Nebraska does not border Colorado, does it? No, it's above it. But Nebraska actually tried to sue Colorado This is how ridiculous people who aren't into freedom are.
The state Nebraska of Nebraska versus Colorado. The state of Colorado.
Yes, because there was suddenly a lot more marijuana in Nebraska, and Nebraska said it was costing more in law enforcement. I can't wrap my head around the layers of onion-like stupidity that's in that statement there.
I think it comes down to who can get money from whom in what way. And if you have the power of making laws and owning these monopolies called the state of Nebraska, it's rent-seeking behavior and regulatory capture. It does such amazing things to make money if you have those powers.
Explain rent-seeking, that term. That's a great term, by the way.
Rent-seeking behavior.
It doesn't mean you're a landlord. It means you want to make money from places that you have no business.
Rent-seeking behavior would be, if you want a podcast, you're going to need a license from Daryl. So, Michael, pay up for basically now to be a podcaster, right? Because I own all of the podcasting licenses, because now I am actually keeping everyone safe. Just call Daryl the government, and now you have an understanding. Okay, I'm keeping you safe.
And people laugh at the thought of this. But the state of Nebraska could try to do that, or the state of Wyoming, or the nation of America. I mean, in North Korea, you'd be killed for having a podcast. In Iran, it's not technically illegal, but if they don't like what you're saying, you might get killed. In Saudi Arabia, I'm sure it's illegal to have a podcast, but people probably do it anyway because it's a very wired place. In North Korea, a lot of people don't know the internet exists. That's how they keep people from learning things they shouldn't learn, according to the government in North Korea.
We'll be back, and we're going to say all the things that they're not allowed to all say in North Korea.
We're going
to
actually get into our list of economic ideas. Finally.
Finally.
Yes.
Mirish. Mirish. We'll be back. Allegedly, she...
I'll be back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. And get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android Worms.
As all good citizens should be who listen to Freedom Fiends, under control of a loving government who knows what's best for you. You know what's a real noodle scratcher, as they say, about government?
Tell me, Michael, what's that?
Is that here's statist logic, and statist is people who believe we need lots of government. Statist logic states that the reason we need rulers, politicians, to decide what's best for us is because people, in general, aren't smart enough to make their own decisions. But who votes for these wise people? People.
That's because they're just smart enough to vote, to know who's, smart enough to rule them somehow.
Yep. You want another noodle scratcher. I see a lot of this here. A lot of this everywhere, but pickup trucks that have a bumper sticker that says "Don't tread on me," which is good, and also have a bumper sticker that say like "Thin Blue Line" or "Support your local police." Who do you think's going to tread on you to take your guns when some politician voted in by wise sheep decrees it so?
Well, unless it's police. The blue helmets of the UN, it's probably going to be the local police. I didn't want to. I don't want to really have people thinking that the UN is a good thing, by the way. There's some people I actually know who think that that's awesome. That the United States is an
one
awful
world
evil
government.
Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be improvements, right?
Because they think that governments are too corrupt to rule people, so you need an overarching government above them to rule them. And you know who picks the people in the UN? The UN. There's no
solution. The Security Council. I got to look down at
leaving
that.
Leaving people alone. Yeah. Look down at that. Instead of looking up, you look down at it.
Exactly. On a tour, I tried to run towards it, but they won't let you. So.
You know, there was an event that they used to have at Porkfest until the new overlords of Porkfest came in and made it not cool a few years ago. They used to have an event. There was a blue helmet shoot.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where they you mean like blue... real UN helmets were there?
I think they bought like army surplus cheapo helmets and spray painted them blue and stenciled a UN on them. But yeah, they're like the 100-yard blue helmet shoot. That's pretty fun.
I just wanted to be clear. A little bit of my critique of the United Nations and everything related to that is not just because I actually visited the headquarters in New York City, but I mean, doing the research of these last 10 years and seeing the numbers of alleged, I would say, rapes and murders and mayhem done by
peacekeepers
in their blue
keepers, yeah,
in their blue helmets. Yeah, not the peacekeepers on Farscape, which is a freaking awesome show, by the way. Yeah. But I'm talking about the peacekeepers who wear blue helmets
on
Earth.
You know why peacekeepers, UN peacekeepers, don't have sidearms? They only have rifles. You know why?
They need to shoot in packs or something? Or, I don't
no,
know
because it's easier to rape somebody if you don't have something on your belt.
Yeah. That's, yeah, like that's either a joke and truth at the same time.
It's probably true, too. But
anyways, there's
no, they have some theory of why they don't have sidearms and why they have rifles, which is kind of bizarre. Because, you know, it's funny, like politicians are like, well, deer rifles are okay, but we need to outlaw handguns. You know what? Really, you think about it, like, yeah, handguns lead to more, like, dirtbag-on-dirtbag violence. And that's not a racial thing. White people shoot each other in Wyoming. You know there's, like, 10 murders in Wyoming every year? If there's only 9, they make one at the end of the year to keep up the quota. No, there's very few murders here, and they're almost entirely people that know each other. There's very, very little stranger-on-stranger violence here. It's all husbands, wives, dads, children, drug deals gone bad, you know, all sorts of things.
This is not going to really do economics, are we? No.
I know. We're going to just promise this for weeks on end. All right, jump in. Let's do the economics. It's a good list.
I get one. I'm going to cover one little thing, okay? So basically, every trade has a gain. That's just basically principle number one.
A gain or a game?
A gain. Someone gains. Usually both people gain, not just someone, both people.
In every what? In every what?
In every exchange, there is every trade.
Except government.
Selling. If people are voluntarily
trading. Government gains because it's not voluntary trade. You know what government does? We're never going to get to economics. You know what government does? Examine everything government does, and you will find that more... Oh, my gosh. Bitcoin is up to 29 cents. It went up a penny during the show. Government makes two people interact that neither of them want to. Like, TSA people don't generally want to grope grandma. Grandma doesn't want to be groped. Well, maybe they do like it, but... Yeah.
Yep, we'll be back protecting grandma from groping.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah, all right. We're really going to get to economics this list, this great list, for sure. Yeah.
It's possible. Why are we talking about economics? This is the Freedom Fiends, by the way.
Talk about economics because economics is everything. Which is kind of funny because hippies are like, man, money's not cool, man. If we outlawed money... I've heard hippies say this. If we outlaw money, the world would be a better place. So if I wanted your daughter, I'd have to pay you in chicken? No, if I wanted you to come teach me how to use crypto on our island paradise with no electricity because there's no money... I'd have to pay you in chickens. It's hard to carry around enough chickens to get done what you need. Money's good. It's
and I just don't accept your hippie shell art. You know, when you just glue random shells.
Well, you know,
cardboard.
Hippies are really big on the Marxist theory, labor theory of value. Hippies think if they spent 10 hours making their crappy art, you owe them $150.
Okay, that's principle number two. Subjective.
Actually, even if you don't want it, they think you own that.
True. I mean,
they don't understand economics.
The labor theory of value is that as much as you work for something, is that's how much it's actually should be worth to other people. There's the should, always the deserve, should. So, subjective value. Should. That's everything is valued based upon individual assessment of each person. And
when I say that economics is, let me finish, and then you can, then you just talk for a half hour, and I'm gonna edit something I'm writing. The idea that that economics is everything doesn't just mean oh man, money, dollar, bill, yo. No, it means that economics can be used to explain everything, and that every human interaction is some kind of trade, even if it's altruistic. There's generally some kind of trade. You know, if you do something altruistic, you're getting a good feeling out of it and probably a tax write-off. So everything that... Nobody gets out of bed without money. And even if they don't have money, even if you're broke, even if you're, you know, a homeless junkie, you don't get out of bed without a reason to go exchange something, you know, stolen copper piping for money to buy heroin or whatever. So every human exchange is some kind of economic function. And it's not saying that there's necessarily dollars involved or bitcoins or bipcoin or whatever, but everything, like the example I give is there's this book called More Guns, Less Crime, which posits that in places that have more legal gun ownership in America, there tends to be less crime, which is generally true except for a couple blips like Detroit and New Orleans. You can pretty easily get a concealed carry permit in either place, but yeah, they have pretty high violent crime. But they have high violent crime because of socialist economic policies for decades. You know,
and not to mention the prohibitions, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing like those prohibitions.
Did you know that Detroit was the wealthiest American city 50 years ago?
And now it makes sense.
It's a hellscape.
Yeah. Now it's like RoboCop, you know, in the 80s, you know.
So didn't RoboCop take place in Detroit? And it took place in like, you know, the not too distant future being now?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Drop it. You know. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I love that movie. Although, really, I don't really love it. That's what's happening. Did you see any of Black Mirror yet? Did you see the one with the robot dog?
I didn't see Black Mirror yet, but it's every single time I have a new show to write down over when I do a show with you, Michael. You know, and I'm convinced Black Mirror.
You give me homework. You told me there's a band I should check out. I'm going to look at them while you talk about economics.
Well, right. See.
So go ahead. Read one of these economic things.
Okay, basically, it goes in this order. Everything, every single trade, every single exchange, every single people going back and forth and saying, I want to buy this from you, whether it's a store or person to person, that's a gain in both people's mind if it's voluntary. If the person understands they don't have to do that, they could have chosen someone else to buy from, some other place to buy from. That's gains from trade, and the second is subjective value. Everything is subjective. So when Michael was going on about how, you know, there's just the labor theory of value that many communists...
And furthermore,
when Michael,
you gosh when, darn kids...
Do you all remember when Michael was going on about commie things like labor theory of value?
Out of context. Farm remembers. That's Dean's out of context. Yeah. When Michael was quoting Marx, not lovingly. All right, go on.
Not lovingly. So the subjective theory of value,
that's the show
remember,
title, not lovingly.
Not lovingly. It is just, you know, it's a way of just saying everything is extremely subjective. Right now, this computer in front of me is honestly probably worth like $70 or something like that on this present market. But this technology, just going back 10 years ago, would have cost several thousand dollars. A bunch more.
Actually, that technology would not have been available.
This technology specifically wouldn't exist.
You can say, yes, like, you know, government computers that took rooms full of blah, 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 but you still couldn't do a podcast on them 20 years ago because MP3 encoding didn't exist. And, I mean, yeah, you probably could have set up a computer that could live stream. I mean, there was, you know, teleconferencing equipment back then, but it cost thousands of dollars, like, to do what Skype does now.
And that takes me to the next one.
There's the network effect, too, because, you know, a teleconferencing setup is pretty much worthless without other people who have one. It's the fax machine idea. You know, like, one fax machine is useless. Two have value. The more people have a fax machine or a computer connected to the internet, the more each one's worth because the more options there are for every person.
And so how do you know when to spend the money? When to spend, say, $10,000 for your computer equipment 10 years ago?
Oh, I know.
Or
$100. I know the answer. Yeah. Because I buy a lot of technology. I am a second adopter, and that's the smart thing to do. First adopter are the people who buy it when it's $10,000 and work out all the bugs, and the programmers and the engineers work out all the bugs on the people who spend $10,000, and then I buy it when it's $2,000, which, you know, my first good computer probably costs that much, but...
And I'm the third adopter.
You buy it used from me. I give it used to you, and I'm done with it and buy a new one. Yeah.
And that's called opportunity cost, because basically I have only this much money, you have only that much money, they have only $10,000 to be the first adopter, you know. So they're seeing what the cost is. If they spend it now, they don't have it later.
My first job sober in San Francisco. I got sober in 94. And, you know, like, I talk about how my first job was working as a dishwasher, then an elevator operator. Like, I was 30, and I was untrained for anything other than playing rock and roll and laying with ladies. And you can't make money at either of those things, really. So I had to, like, learn how to function again. And, you know, I didn't even know how to use a computer, let alone, like, write books on how to do things with computers, but for money. But my first real job, I mean, it wasn't a real job, but the thing I did to pay my rent sober for the first couple months was I rode my bicycle around San Francisco and found discarded computer equipment everywhere and then took it and sold it at secondhand stores. Because, and this is not a euphemism for burglary, I was not stealing stuff. People were throwing out, like, I've never been anywhere where you just walk down the street and find functional computers all the time. As in, like, 97, 98, no, like 96, 97, 95, 96, 97 in San Francisco. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, right. I would take, like, giant, you know, 22-inch, which is giant back then, like cathode ray tube monitors on my bicycle, and then sell them for, you know, $40 at some computer shop. Yeah, because back then, like, there was so much money. It was kind of like the cryptocurrency thing now, where just people were making money hand over fist that they didn't know what to do with it. They just had too much money. There's no such thing as too much money, but they had more money than they knew what to do with. So they would buy they were always for a lot of first adopters there in the tech industry in the dot-com year. And the dot-com companies, I mean, they would get these angel investments for, like, you know, $50 million for a business plan they basically scribbled down on a napkin. Not really, but almost. And, you know, they would buy stuff, and then they'd, in 6 months or 4 months, they'd buy new stuff and put the other stuff out in the loading dock for the trash man, which was me. Yeah.
And so you see that this is all just part of the opportunity, right? That's out
part of the economy. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm the fifth
that's
adopter.
Spontaneous order. That's the fourth principle. Just society is emerging from basically the bottom up actions of all the individuals and all the unplanned outcomes. That's how it goes. It's called spontaneous order.
I was an unplanned outcome, but my parents loved me anyway.
Yeah, so keeping everything nice and in order like this is just, it's really helpful when people understand these little principles. Just can have that opportunity to take care of things. Everyone has an incentive. That's the fifth principle. Incentives are what makes individuals choose what they're doing. It's why is this even listed here sometimes? It's just that I think
it's such common sense that you think it doesn't need explaining.
Basically, is what I'm. That's exactly what I wanted to say. I was just flabbergasted at how obvious incentives individuals act to maximize their own reward. I'm reading verbatim, and I'm like, yeah.
And this is kind of counter to what is taught in public school, though.
Ah, like as if people have the devil in them and they need to be like chained up or something.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's not common sense to it. Common sense isn't that common. That's a saying, and it's true. I mean, a lot of people think. A lot of people don't think about this, and which is why a lot of people are poor. And a lot of people don't understand how things work, and they think government needs to make choices for them, and they think that people are too stupid to make good decisions, so stupid people have to vote in other people. Stupid people. The thing is, too, like, if you think that's a valid way to run people's lives, or that people's lives need running, you know, that having stupid people vote in smart people, allegedly, I mean, even statists know that there are so-called corrupt politicians. Now, you and I would argue that all politicians are corrupt, but some are more corrupt than others. You know, I mean, what is it? Like 3 out of the last 5 governors of Illinois are in prison.
Well, I think I can trust Bernie Sanders, right?
Yeah, I don't think you can. You know, I mean, let's put on our dunce cap here and pretend we're Democrats. And pretend we're like Democrats who really care. And we like Bernie Sanders because he's not like the others. He is not like the others in a lot of extents. He's anti-war. He doesn't want to carry on the drug war. He doesn't want an incredibly militarized police state. But Hillary scammed him. So there, politicians are bad. All of them.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
This is the Freedom Fiends. What's up there, Freedom Fiend? My fellow Freedom Fiend. Fiend for freedom.
I'm feeling fiendy. Got my own wrestling name.
Yeah, what is your wrestling name?
Hawaiian Hodler.
Yeah, what's a hodler?
That
sounds like a bird. Is that a bird?
The
no, it's
hodling.
Like a hodling. It's like a wild cat, and it's what they call it. It's Hawaiian for cat. It's hodler, right?
That's good enough. You sure? Why not?
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, like for those who like to hold on to their cryptocurrencies and in exuberance, they can't even type out the word hold fast enough, so it's HODL.
Huddle. Have you seen the Genesis post for that, where it came from?
No.
There's a post on Bitcoin Talk. If you search what does HODL mean, it's one of the top probably 5 links that comes up. It's somebody in, whenever Bitcoin hit $1,000 for the first time, what was that, 2013, 14, 15, something like that?
When it first hit $1,000, 2013.
Yeah. Okay. And then, like, it immediately dropped to $700 pretty quickly.
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah. So when it dropped to $700, like in a month or less than a month, it dropped to $700, then went back up to 8 or 9 or something. But, people were like, Bitcoin's dead when it, went down to 700. I mean, it was like the first time it had gone that high, and people thought it was going to go up, up, up. And then it, so some guy bought a bunch of it at $1,000. And then, a month later, it went down to 700. And he posted this just ranting, drunk, hilarious post that wasn't meant to be hilarious, where he's like, I don't know. I'm going to sell all my Bitcoin and cut my losses. And, you know, I'm bummed out. Life's horrible. I'm losing money. My girlfriend's out at a lesbian bar. Yes, it actually said that. That's part of his complaints. And the subject line of it was, should I sell? No, I'm going to hodl. And he was drunk, so he misspelled hold and spelled hodl. And it became a meme instantly.
And now also a backronym, basically.
Oh, hold on for dear life.
Hold on for dear life. And so, that's
the name. It's funny, too, because so today something happened where CoinMarketCap, which is unfortunately kind of the only place people go for cryptocurrency minute-to-minute prices. And, I mean, it's a great site. Bitcoin's on it. Hey, they listed Bitcoin. But it's such a popular site. I mean, it's the 145th most popular site on the whole internet. You know, it's got an Alexa ranking of 145. And you should add the Alexa toolbar, really. It's great. There's a plugin for most browsers. And you can see what the, you know, basically when people tell you, like, yeah, I'm really popular, you can look at their website and look at this little number and go, 3 million? No, you're not. But, yeah, so this site today delisted some of the Korean exchanges, because some of the Korean exchanges are selling for way, like, things are selling for like 1.5 times what they are on the rest of the exchanges in the world. And, so they removed a few of them, not all of them, but the few of them that were like really kind of making the whole overall what looks like the average inaccurate. And it looked like in 1 hour, the price of every cryptocurrency went down like 30%. And it didn't really. It was just more accurately the, you know, what people are paying in America for them. I mean, you can click on a price here and look at all the exchanges and what they're selling for, and they can be 30 to 40% apart. So that happened, and all the newbies, all the people that have recently got into cryptocurrency and don't know the miracle of HODL, sold because they were like, oh my God, I'm going to lose you. I'm going to cut my losses. What is that, opportunity cost? Or no, the fallacy of... the gambler's fallacy. That's a good economic
one.
That's
true.
Yeah. The gambler's fallacy is something different. That's the idea that
I've lost for 9 times in a row, so it has to be that I win this time.
Right, right.
That's the gambler's
fallacy. But then what's the other fallacy that goes along with that of you have to cut losses? And people often do it when gambling, and they often do it when
the fallacy of the discarded middle, where, like, well, if it's not this one and that one, it has to be the one in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. Where people, you know, like, oh, you know, if you bought cryptocurrency 6 months ago, you'd be like, oh, my coins are up 400%. But if you just bought them last week, you'd be like, they're down 30%. Yeah. Yeah. So the idiots sold, so it actually brought the price of a lot of them down. But it corrected. A lot of them back up 10, 20, 30%. Bitcoin is up 50% since this morning, and it's up.
And so I make a commitment to get some by next show.
It's up 1,500% in a year.
Yeah. Good job, man. And thank you for your service tonight.
Yeah, thank you for your service, too. I would actually recommend, if you're going to get Bitcoin, and this is not advice, but